And once again, welcome to the edition of the morning show for this Tuesday, July 9th, 2024. With us in the studio today, we have Scott Rulander from the Padre Peddlers, relatively new to a paid trails position to coordinate things for the summer. We're going to talk a little bit more about Scott and about the position and what's happening with Padre Peddlers. And from the Idaho Trails Association, we have Herbert Klein, a board member who's been on the advisory board or board for some time now, leading projects locally, very active in many communities, but particularly fond of doing trail work for ITA and organizing others to do trail work. Welcome to the studio, Scott.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Yeah, welcome to the studio, both of you. And let's launch in. And as I said, let's take a little deeper dive by way of introduction to the community. Scott, you're well known to a lot of people, but we have a lot of new listeners from time to time who won't know about you or even the Padre Peddlers. So tell us a little bit about more about who you are and what got you interested in trails, and particularly the mountain bike trails that you work on.
Yeah, so I'm Scott Rulander. I've lived in Sandpoint since 2003, and I've just been an avid outdoor adventurer for the whole time that I've been in Sandpoint. Lots of great opportunities here. And I got into mountain biking in 2012, and that kind of sparked my interest more in trail building and trail construction. I worked with the U.S. Forest Service starting in 2008 as a trail crew person down in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, and then I worked up in Bonner's Ferry as well with their crew for 8 years. So that got me pretty familiar with trails, and I started working with the Padre Peddlers a bit as a volunteer. And then, like Phil said, this year I have a paid position, just a summer seasonal position as the trails director for the Padre Peddlers. So, yeah.
How's that going so far?
Oh, it's going great. We really hit the ground running this year. Yeah. We have a lot of projects happening this summer, and we started... I was supposed to start April 8th, and I felt like I started in March just because there was so much conversation in March about everything that was happening. Yeah, I guess we're going to get into the projects here soon, but it's just been a very busy season for the Padre Peddlers. Lots going on.
Well, we're
going
to dive into all of that and more in a few moments. But Herbert, again, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been on the radio before. You've been around the community, but with new listeners all the time. Tell us how you ended up in Sandpoint and how you ended up volunteering for the Idaho Trails Association.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Phil. So, yeah, Herbert Klein. I've been up in Sandpoint for 16 years. Moved here from Colorado. Yeah, and just, you know, I really enjoy, you know, living in this community. I've had the pleasure while I was working to really extensively travel, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. And, you know, I think often people just don't realize what a special community we live in, and just the outdoor recreation opportunities that we have are, you know, really, really unparalleled. So as Phil mentioned, I'm on the board of the Idaho Trails Association, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that, just how, you know, the impact that organization's had, not just up here, but for the whole state of Idaho in terms of both developing and really protecting our trails network. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then also sort of a part-time gig, I guess I helped coordinate the Monday Hikers hiking group here in Sandpoint as well.
That's a small community. There's lots of overlap with things people do, either participate in or volunteer lead in.
Yeah.
That's a great segue. And so let's pick that thread up. Let's dive into the organizational stuff. Scott, since we've got this rotation going, tell us about the Padre Peddlers, the mission for the organization, how long it's been around, and how it's evolved.
Yeah, so the Padre Peddlers started in 2004, so we're going on 20 years now of being in operation in Sandpoint here. We just try to be involved in all things cycling, but our mission is to build, to ride, and maintain trails in the local area. And yeah, we've been doing a lot of that this year. Originally the Padre Peddlers started because of the Syringa Trail System, which is a local trail system. If folks are new to the area, it's kind of out on the west side of town, out by Pine Street. And it started out, it was just a small piece of property that the Peddlers started building trails on. And now we have not just the Syringa Trail System, but we have the Pine Street Woods, and we also have the VTT Trail System, which is owned by Steve and Julie Meyer. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's some other trail systems that the peddlers routinely work on, too, if you want to touch on those.
Yeah, yeah. Our big focus right now is up in the watershed, so in the lower basin below Schweitzer. And that has more recently become open to new construction. And so we've been focusing on that area a lot this year. We have about over 4 miles of trail, I think, built just this year up in the the basin. We've been bringing in some outside contractors to help build trails, and then we've been supporting them with volunteer efforts, and then we've been building a little bit on our own as well. And we've built 0.6 miles of trail in the VTT system this year. So it's been a really huge year of trail construction.
And how large is the group these days?
You know, that's a good question. I'd say there's hundreds of people that are involved with it now. I don't know the exact number of members, but it's grown a lot in just the past 5 years. We're a very active organization these days.
Mm-hmm. Let's continue a little bit with that vein before we move back to ITA. And you mentioned projects this summer, and I know it's a chock full summer. Tell us what you've done so far and what you're looking to accomplish for trail projects for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, so if we start up in the lower basin, like I said, that's kind of our main focus right now. And many people are familiar, as you're going up the mountain, there's the mountain has many switchbacks getting up to the top. But just past switchback 2, there's a parking area. And if we just work our way uphill from there, there's really no trails below switchback 2. But from switchback 2, we've had integrated trail labs have come in from Missoula, Montana, and they've been reconstructing the downhill trail. They've built a blue downhill trail that is, I would say it's a flow trail with jumps and just really fun features for mountain bikes. So they've built about a mile of trail in that area. And then as we go up the mountain further, just above that integrated trail lab segment, there was a company out of Fruta, Colorado called Dirt Tech Company that came in, and they built a 0.7 mile, about 3/4 of a mile trail. It's called Extraterrestrial, and it starts from switchback 4 and then comes down the mountain, like I said, for 3/4 of a mile and ties into that integrated trail lab segment. And that's a black flow trail. Has a lot of jumps. It's a beautifully built trail. And all these trails, these guys are incorporating in really good erosion management, and that's very important in the watershed. And then above that, Integrated Trail Labs will be back later this summer, probably in the next couple of weeks, and they're going to build a black tech trail coming down from switchback 6 to switchback 4. Above that, Mike Kirkpatrick from Selkirk Rec District is rebuilding from the roundabout down to switchback 6. And then above that, we've got a new development project happening at Schweitzer. It's the South Ridge development. And if people who have been here for a while know about the High Point Trail that goes up to Yulita Ridge and out to what we call Pop Point. But on your way up on that climb to get up there, before you get to a trail called Solar Ecstasy, that High Point segment has been affected by some development that's happening. And the developers, it's Schweitzer Mountain Properties, and they are funding the reconstruction of trails to go around that development. And so there's been about 2 miles of new trail built in that area as well. And that's a company called DeWolf Dirt Company mm-hmm. that's come in to build those trails. So
all that sounds expensive. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, it's just, like I said, some of that upper stuff is funded by Schweitzer Mountain Properties. And then we have incredible local donors that are helping out. And then it's just a process of writing a lot of grants and coming up with the money to make that happen. The city is also helping out with some of the construction because these trails in the watershed are to mitigate for erosion issues. So that's where the money's coming from.
So the trails are on a combination of Schweitzer, which is private land, and the city public land. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a lot of mixed ownership up in the watershed. You might think that it's mostly city land, and there is a lot of city land, but there's also BLM land, there's Forest Service land, and then up further, Schweitzer was purchased by Altera, and so there's some Altera land up there, and then there's the Schweitzer Mountain property land as well. And I think there's even a little bit of state land mixed in there.
And so if someone wants to go out riding on them, do they need to get a special permit of some kind, or is it just open?
Yeah, it's just open. There's no special permit to ride them. Yeah, go on up and check them out. It's just a phenomenal riding area now.
Primary purposes for riding, but other uses of the trails exist or not?
Yeah, definitely. It's open to hiking and biking. I don't think there's any horse use allowed in the watershed. So it's it's all non-motorized use. Mm-hmm. So it's predominantly mountain biking and hiking.
Hiking and mountain biking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. What's coming up? Any volunteer projects?
It's ongoing. I was just looking at our books to try to figure it out, and I think we're at close to 600 volunteer hours that we've done so far this year. And every Thursday night, we've taken a couple Thursdays off here with the heat and the holiday, but back in April, we started with our Thursday night work parties. They happen at 5:30 on Thursday evenings. And you can check out our Facebook page or Instagram to find out where we're going to be that particular week. But yeah, every Thursday night, and we'll probably continue to do that all the way into September, October.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to find out more, they should go to the Facebook page, or are there other resources do they need to sign up or just show up?
They don't need to sign up. They can just show up. But yeah, check out Facebook or Instagram is the most up-to-date information. Of course, it'd be good for people to go to our website and read a little bit about the organization. But yeah, it's open to everybody. There's always jobs to do for everyone. And I want people to know that. You know, it's not all swinging a Pulaski. We're raking things. We're pulling away debris from the corridor, and it's just like I said, there's something for everyone.
No technical skills required then.
No technical skills, just good sturdy shoes is a good idea, some safety glasses and gloves, and you know, of course, with this heat, bring water, and always bring water and snacks and that sort of thing.
5:30 can be just about the heat of the day. We've been topping out the high temperature at around 4 p.m. lately.
yeah, it is the heat of the day for sure.
Well, let's turn to Idaho Trails Association. A whole bunch of things to run through. Herbert, you looked like you had a thought first.
Well, I did. I didn't want to interrupt Scott, but you know, one trail to maybe mention locally is Hayes Gulch, and that's a great example of collaboration. I mean, I think we had like 49 people there the one day, people from the Ponderay Peddlers, Idaho Trails Association, the backcountry, you know, horse folks. There was a whole group of people, some of the motorized people as well, because that section's open to motorized. But that is I just thought I'd mention that, because that whole trail has been closed for, I think, 2 years after a very extensive logging operation. But that is an incredible asset for the community. I mean, it is a beautiful trail network, fantastic views of the lake and Sandpoint. And I think fairly well designed, too, from a mountain biking perspective.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for bringing that up. That is like a great spot, and gives access up to the Gold Hill area, which is just a gem in our community.
Yeah, so many wonderful trails, and that really truly is a great example of the collaborative work that can be done to benefit trails and such. Herbert, walk us from the start. Tell us a little bit about the Idaho Trails Association, how it gets started in the mission, and where it's come in the last 14 years, I think we said.
Yeah, sure. Phil will be glad to. And Phil's a great person to chip in on this too, and I'll explain why in a second. So just high level, you know, ITA's, Idaho Trails Association's mission is basically to keep Idaho's trails open for all, right? That's our kind of mission statement. Mm-hmm. And why that's important is I think most people don't realize statewide, Idaho has over 10,000 miles of non-motorized trails. I know that's a hard number to believe, but just think of that. You know, compare that to a lot of other states out there. I mean, we really have an incredible asset. And in all honesty, as great a job as the Forest Service does, in many cases, they just don't have the resources and the staff to essentially look after all 10,000. So, you know, they look to collaborate and augment their resources with volunteer organizations. So that's really where we come into play. And, as Phil alluded to, it is a statewide organization. So And it's not actually that old an organization. So the ITA was started in 2010 by a very small group of people up here in North Idaho, including our host Phil today was on the original board, and started really small. They did one project in 2010, and I think that was in the Payette Forest outside of McCall. And they enjoyed it and good fellowship and thought they did some good work, and it's grown from there. So I won't take you through the boring detail, but fast forward to 2023, and we had 700 plus volunteers, over 80 projects statewide, 13,200 volunteer hours, and over 7,200 trees removed last year, 300 miles of trail cleared, and we now have three permanent staff members as well. So in a fairly short period of time, the organization's come a long way, and we really do make an impact in terms of just keeping that fantastic trail network open.
Yeah, it's had a truly remarkable evolutionary arc to become an effective statewide organization and does so many good things. And a lot up here in North Idaho, and Herbert, I know that's obviously where you're based and where you're most active. Tell us what's been going on this summer up north.
Yeah, so we had quite a few projects up north here. I mean, just, statewide, we've had 35 projects completed so far, and that's over 4,000 volunteer hours. And most of our, the bulk of our trail season really starts now, because a lot of the work we do is in wilderness areas. And I should have mentioned that before. We often focus on, I guess, the trails less trodden. I don't know if that's a good descriptor, but we focus a lot on trails that are way out in the backcountry, often in wilderness areas. And in central Idaho, a lot of that means very high elevation. So a lot of those trail networks only open up in, late June, July. But as I said, we have 82 projects planned for this year. And, up here in North Idaho, we've done a number, I can go through the whole list, but some close to town, the Mikinik project. I actually just led a project this last weekend way up on the, in the Cabinet Mountain Range. It's part of the whole B-top, round-top trail. And I know Phil's been up there, but if anyone wants to, I still think it's the most scenic view in all of North Idaho. It's that section from, it's called the Alpine Way, but basically from the junction of Round Top Mountain, you go towards Clark Fork, and the views are just phenomenal. It's one of the few trails here in North Idaho that doesn't have a lot of trees on it up high. I mean, the views are really open, these big grassy meadows. So, bit of a drive, but...
it's a dandy of a trail, but...
Well worth it, yeah.
What part were you working on? I saw something on Facebook about that.
Yeah, so we did two sections. The initial scope of work was to basically go from Round Top Mountain to B-top, and we had 3 days scheduled for this whole project. And actually, while we scouted the trail, we cut out, I think, 23 trees, and then we had a trail crew work one day, and we basically finished that whole section in one day. It wasn't too bad. There was a burn section there where we cut out quite a few trees, but the trail is actually in pretty good shape. So then the rest of the time we actually went the other way towards Clark Fork, and that was really good too. Moved a lot of rocks, we built a water bar, cut out, I think in total we cut out 163 trees. But it is a really good shape. We actually ran into a number of trail runners, and we didn't see mountain bikers, but that trail is absolutely accessible for mountain bikers. It's in good shape, and you're up at, I think, 5,700 feet, so it's at least 10 degrees cooler down here. So if it's getting too hot, head up high.
Very good, very good. And what else is coming up?
So we have a number of trails. I'll obviously just focus on the North Idaho piece. I'll just mention a few. So there's July 12th to 14th. That's a 3-day project. Settlers Cedar Grove. That's east of Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that trail, but apparently very scenic, beautiful trail, big giant cedar trees. And I think, a lot of trees across the trail reportedly that need to be cut out. One I'm actually leading this weekend up at Fault Lake in the Selkirk Range. Mm-hmm. That, I believe, there's a piece of the trail that's kind of slid down the hill that we're going to repair and just work on that. And the plan is obviously going to be hot this weekend, so I think we're going to start really early and then see if we can get done by noon before the temps get too high. July 22nd to 26th, Divide Lake. July 27th and 28th, the east fork of Lost Creek. That's actually a really nice trail. It's near Wallace area, and I think that involves a lot of brushing that's encroached onto the trail. See what else. August 4th to 10th, again, that's quite a long, week-long project. Heart Lake in the Mallard Larkin region. A lot of down trees. And again, I haven't been to that, but I've heard Phil and various other people talk about it. That's one of the most beautiful places in Idaho.
Gorgeous area. That part of the spine of Idaho-Montana's borders, just stunning.
Yeah, so again, if someone wanting scenery, that might be a great project for you. And then, the last one I was going to talk about, which is more closer to us on August 10th, is Moose Mountain. And again, that's in the Cabinet Range. And let me talk a little bit about that trail. So it starts off essentially, it's an anti-clockwise loop, but you head off towards Blacktail Lake, and then it keeps going up all the way up to Moose Mountain. And then you can come down the other side to Moose Lake. A lot of people have probably been to Moose Lake. But the reason I talk about that trail a lot is ITA has been working on that trail every year for at least the last 6 years. And it's really transformed that trail. I mean, I remember the first time I walked it, it was like bush. You couldn't see your feet.
Very brushy, yeah.
And we've made a phenomenal dent on that. And we've actually, and again, not just us, in the collaboration with the Forest Service. For those of you that have been around Moose Lake, you'll notice a lot of those elevated boardwalks. You know, it's a very marshy area. And thankfully, the Forest Service actually flew in a lot of those supplies for us in a helicopter. So we did the work, but all the wood and all those pilings and everything, they flew in. But that trail really has been transformed. And it's, you feel proud to say when you see it now compared to what it was. It's
I was up there last year, and as I recall, there was still a bridge that was buckled. Very probably dangerous to walk across.
We haven't done that one yet, but that's we're talking to the Forest Service.
Not to say that's you more can't of a, walk across, it's just dangerous.
It's a little bit more of a structural engineering problem than us weekend trail workers
I have to say though, every time I've gone up there, I've done the loop clockwise. I'm a contrarian, but I didn't realize there was a prescribed way. That, I like the clockwise because you hit the Moose Lake first, and then the steepest section you get over with, and then the long downhill. But it would be nice to end up at Moose Lake. So
both directions work.
Well, very good. We're going to take a short music break and come back and talk a little bit more about other things the organizations are both doing. If you're just tuning in, this is KRFY 88.5 FM, community-supported radio for North Idaho. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and with us in the studio today, we have Scott Ruhlander from the Pendere Peddlers and Herbert Klein from Idaho Trails Association. We're getting an update on trails activities and work and projects and in a little bit upcoming events. Right now, we're going to listen to a little bit of Neil Diamond continuing on our 4th of July theme. Neil Diamond, America, appropriate for the post-4th of July week. And back in the studio here at KRFY 88.5 FM. If you've just tuned in, this is the morning show. We're talking about trails with Pendere Peddlers and Idaho Trails Association. And let's get back to the stuff that's going on. And we've just sort of wrapped up on trail projects for the summer. We want to move on to other events, unless there's any particular project coming up either one of you would like to highlight. Scott, anything you're looking for volunteers you want to give a plug for?
Nothing in particular. Just, huge thanks to all the volunteers who've been coming out on these Thursday night work parties. And we're just going to get back to those this Thursday night. And I think we're going to be up in the lower basin again this Thursday night at 5:30. And we typically meet at Switchback 2. But definitely check Facebook and Instagram to be sure of where we're going to be. But other than that, we do have a lot of volunteer projects that still need to happen this summer, because some of these additional builds that are happening in the basin require a lot of new bridges. And so that's a big focus is, doing these Thursday night work parties to build those bridges. And so please come out if you can join us.
Herbert, I know you ran through a few, but anything you want to circle back, re-highlight?
Two things I'd like to mention. I mean, we're always looking for more volunteers. And, you know, I would suggest to people to go to the Idaho Trails Association website, which is idahotrailsorganization.org. And it'll give you a description of the project and where they are. So, and it's easy to sign up there as well. The other thing I thought I'd mention, and Scott alluded to this as well, is you don't have to be kind of a trail work animal to work on these projects. There's something for everybody. You know, if someone's not maybe in the best physical condition or has some injuries or whatever, you know, you can do everything from lopping to swinging a Pulaski to sawing trees. And, you know, we want people to have fun on these projects. And it's a great way to meet new people who are generally, you know, outdoor-minded and super fun group of people to work with. So it's a, you know, we want people to have fun, do some work at the same time. And there's, you know, we cater for all kind of physical, you know, abilities as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, I think, just to talk about some of those high country projects that Herbert's part of, it's amazing to go out and be part of those crews. With the Forest Service, I was part of those crews we were working on high country trails, and some of those trips are pack supported. So, you know, you're literally hiking in with a day pack, and you get there and you've got a mule string that has brought in your camping gear, usually in just very beautiful locations and awesome projects, and just feels great to be part of the trail community.
Yeah. It's a wonderful opportunity to really see some spectacular backcountry.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's...
Maybe just one more thing to add on my side. No, sure. For some of the longer ITA projects that are week-longs and sometimes even 10 days, I'm doing a little bit of a commercial here, but some of those are fantastic. We'll fly, especially the ones in wilderness areas like the Frank Church Wilderness. IT will actually fly you into some of these backcountry airstrips and put you into, you know, some of the most scenic places in the state. And then jet boating as well, up the Salmon and Snake Rivers. We'll often take crews up in a jet boat, you know, drop you off at the side of this fantastic beach to camp in. Yeah, sure, you'll do some work, but as Phil mentioned, they're often supported with, you know, you'll have a cook that'll prepare all the meals, whatever. So that can be really fun events.
All right, we need to get helicopters flying our crew into the <Lower Basin. laughs>
Yeah, Schweitzer's a pretty close drive.
Yeah, but, a little bit close for that. Yeah.
So both organizations do a lot of other events to engage the public in the activities. So let's turn to some of the clinics or special events or opportunities coming up. Scott, let's go with you first.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing is just to get out and enjoy the trails. So getting out riding and... each week on Tuesday nights, we have a mountain bike ride that's led by a couple of local riders, and that's just open to anyone. It's for all abilities. And again, on Facebook, they'll post where they're going to go and what the idea is for the ride. As it gets into these hotter days of summer, we tend to migrate up towards Schweitzer for those rides more often. Just because it is 10 degrees cooler, roughly, up there. So we've got weekly rides. Like I said, there's the Tuesday night ride. There's also a Wednesday night ride that's a women's only ride. And those have been very popular. I think they've had up to 30 women joining in on those rides. And again, they're mixing them up between going to the local trail networks down low here in the valley and then heading up to Schweitzer and doing some of the more higher country trails up there. We also have kids camps happening throughout the summer. We had a kids camp program that it was like after school program for 5 weeks, and that was in the spring. And then we have a 2-week mountain bike camp for kids happening the last couple of weeks in August. And then we have another after school program, which is 2 days a week happening once school gets back into session. And those are great. Definitely just go to the website to find out more about those and to try to register the kids. I think the age groups, it's like 7 to 13 year olds roughly for those after school programs and the camps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Any special events coming up? Any celebrations or Public Lands Day is right around the corner. Probably you're doing something.
Yeah. I think we're just so busy with building right now. I don't know of any like real specific events that are happening other than the rides. We are going to eventually, once we get the trails all built in up at the Lower Basin, we're going to have a little bit of a celebration day, ribbon cutting to, ride those trails together as a community.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be pretty amazing. I mean, just to note that, you know, over the past 5-ish years, we've been building out the trails going up to what we call Pop Point, which is up on Yoleta Ridge. By the end of this season, you'll be able to start up at Pop Point and descend close to 4,000 vertical feet on mostly newly built trails that have just been built in the past, you know, like I said, 5 years, and many of them just being built this year. So it's really incredible. These builders that are coming from out of town, like I said, we have a builder from Fruta, Colorado, and then a couple of builders from Montana. And a lot of times for these builders, it's their first time coming to Sandpoint, and they're blown away. You know, they're up there working in the basin, looking down on the lake each day and just saying, wow, you guys have something super special here.
Nice.
So yeah, definitely get out and realize what a beautiful area we live in and enjoy it.
Excellent. Well, Howard? Herbert. Herbert, sorry. Turning to you, tell us about what ITA is coming up, or is the summer so filled with projects there aren't very many events? I know there's some in the fall.
Pretty full summer, as we've talked about, but there's always additional events. You know, something we actually recently hosted, which is past tense, but I thought I'd talk about it as well because we do it every year, is a backpacking 101 seminar. Mm-hmm. And I think for people that have never backpacked or camped out in the, you know, in the woods, it can be a little bit intimidating. But this is, we'll take you through, you know, what equipment you should have, how to put your tent up, how to, you know, cook your food in the wilderness. And then there's two practical days where you'll go up to like Upper Priest Lake, and it's a pretty easy walk and camping trip, and you can test out all your equipment. And that's a great way for new people to get into the outdoors. So those are very popular. We host those both up here in North Idaho and in the Boise area as well. And then we host a sort of endless stream of webinars. And the good thing with those is, you know, they're obviously live, but if you go to our YouTube channel, you can watch most of those recordings. Everything from, you know, wilderness first aid to ITA is doing a lot of work on the Idaho Centennial Trail, which is a, you know, multi-year project to try and get that built up. And we've had a number of people that have hiked that and done great presentations on what it is, and some of the, you know, all you have to do is show all the beautiful photographs along the way. So that's been pretty popular. Things like trail cooking, you know, we've had a couple of webinars on winter hikes, you know, tips and tricks and winter hikes, some great places to hike here in North Idaho. And then a whole host of youth projects and that kind of thing as well.
Mm-hmm. And in the fall, I know there's Public Lands Day and that much coveted post-season volunteer appreciation event that you probably need to volunteer to be part of, right?
Yeah, well, thanks for the reminder. Yeah, we do an end-of-season celebration party, which is always very popular. And I think we actually have a project on National Public Lands Day, which I believe is September 28th. And that's the East Fork of Boulder Creek, beautiful area in the Cabinets. The trail's really up high at 6,200 feet and up. So, you know, you're going to get the views and the nice cool weather up there as well.
Okay. Well, as we kind of wind down, just got a couple more questions and any final thoughts. But let's cover, at least briefly, resources for people who might be new to the area or new to the sport and want to know more about how to go out mountain biking, where to go, what to do. What are some good resources, Scott?
I think local bike shops are a great resource. So visiting your local bike shops to talk to, you know, employees there to find out more about trails in the area. Going to the Pondere Pedaler website is a good resource. For mountain bikers, it's become really popular to use like the Trail Forks app. If you're not familiar with that, there's the Trail Forks app. There's also the Mountain Bike Project, which covers, and that's an app as well that you can have on your phone. And those have almost all the trails in our local area on them. And it's really cool. It shows you exactly where you are, which is, you know, tricky. I would say apologies to people who go out and maybe struggle a little bit to find their way around. We're doing the best we can to get signs updated. It's just, things are evolving so quickly. Sometimes it's hard to get everybody, you know, in the right places. But yeah, those apps are great. And like I said, the website is awesome. And and just talking to other riders and, you know, picking each other's brains. And I think As far as high country rides, you could check in with the Forest Service and find out which trails have been sawed out. Mm-hmm. As we talk about high country rides and the work that's being done up there, this year has been a little bit of a, even though we're getting a lot of heat now, it's been kind of a cool year. And so the Forest Service crews have been a little bit slower to get up to those high country trails just because there has been a lot of snow that's been lingering in the mountains. But definitely check in with the Forest Service because you can have a, as far as being on a bike, and I think even as a hiker, you can have a pretty bad day if you end up on a high country trail that hasn't been sawed out just because there can be hundreds of trees down. So yeah, check in with those resources and I think that's
good,
about it.
Good advice. Favorite trail? One, at least one you're willing to share?
Yeah, that's tricky. You know, my heart is actually in the high country and I've always been someone who loves to get up in the mountains and I like to be challenged getting up to high places. And so although I absolutely love, I'd say, I'll mention a couple. The new trail Extraterrestrial that was just recently built in the lower basin, even though I'm not a jumper and necessarily into those like very manicured trails, that is just an insanely built trail, as well as the other trails up there. Like all of the new trails are phenomenal, but I'd say Extraterrestrial is a favorite. And then in the high country, I'll give it away just because I think actually it's important to have people get out and use trails. That helps to keep them maintained. So Red Top Mountain up in the northern Selkirks, you can go up and head up past the Westport Cabin, which is an old historic Forest Service cabin, climb up to where you have a view down on Hidden Lake, which is the largest alpine lake in the Selkirks of the U.S. And then you can literally, if you're having a good day and you're riding well, you can pedal over Red Top Mountain without putting a foot down. And then most people maybe put a foot down. But and then it's a beautiful about 4 mile descent, I think, back down to the road. So that's one of my favorites.
That is a stunning area.
Yeah.
Herbert, same question. Resources for wannabe new hikers or new hikers to the area, and
Sure. You know, one suggestion I'd have is we have that Monday Hikers, a very informal hiking group, which is a great way to, you know, see trails that you may not be aware of, and then you're hiking in a group, which obviously you're a bit safer to navigate. So that's a great way, one, to meet people and just to get an idea of all the different trail networks we have. You know, two things I wanted to mention. One was there's some really, really good books on the hiking trails here in our area. And one was Trails of the Wild Cabinets by Dennis Nichols and Jim Mellon. And then the same thing with the Selkirks, right? Trails of the Wild Selkirks. And those are really, really good books. I mean, they're great descriptors of the trails. They've got the maps in. I know they've been written and revised multiple times, but those two are really good resources for this area.
Yeah, excellent suggestions. Favorite hiking trail?
You know, that's always a tough one. Yeah. The one I just talked about earlier up that, Trail 120 B-top, round top. If you like views and just spectacular scenery, that's a good one. Another one I like, which is unfortunately pretty heavily trafficked, is the Roman Nose Lakes Loop. You know, you can get up there and do all three lakes in one day, the lower lake and then the upper lake, and then the main lake's just right by the trailhead. But that's on a clear summer's day, that's pretty spectacular. Yeah. You're up high, it's
hard
cooler. That's a good one.
Well, we're about ready to close out the show. Any final thoughts or suggestions or reminders for folks? Scott, we'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I think I would just mention that we are seeing an increase in the number of trail users in our area. And I just hope that we can all remember trail etiquette as we're out there on the trails. And bikers should yield to hikers and horse traffic if you see them. And usually it's uphill traffic has the right of way. And so, but with that, you know, not to get into like the details, but let's just be kind to each other and really be respectful of the other trail users out there. And you know, say hello. It's North Idaho. We're known for being a friendly part of the country. And it's sad to hear about some, you know, harsher interactions that happen out on the trails, especially in our area. but I don't think it happens very often, but we do hear about them. And so let's just be considerate of each other and make sure that we're all having a great experience out there.
Very good.
Yeah, and I'd like to echo, you know, what Scott said about trail etiquette and just things like, you know, respect the wildlife. We've got such a fantastic natural resource here. Let's look after it, right? Respect the wildlife, other trail users. You know, put out any fires you ever make out there in the summer. Just the basics, but they're really important to reiterate. Yeah. And then, just from an Idaho Trails Association perspective, you know, we're always looking for new members. If you want to sign up and join us, go to our website. It's a organization that does great work, but you know, like all nonprofits, we need resources, we need volunteers, we need people. But it's a great community, and I'm sure Ponderay Peddlers is the same, and you know, the organization Phil's involved in, the Friends of Scotchman's Peak Wilderness, they do fantastic work. They also have a trail program. They do goat ambassadors to make sure people don't harass the mountain goats. Very, very important stuff, right? And it's all great organizations that are worthy of your support.
Yeah, I think a very, very important point, be aware that we are in an area with abundant wildlife, and be respectful of them, whether it's mountain goats or bears, which a hiker or biker would be lucky to see, but we always want to be prepared and be on our best behavior to avoid encounters, make a little noise on the trail. And if you do go out, carry bear spray just in case you have a incident that you need to confront. So good words to the wise. I want to thank both Scott and Herbert for coming in today to talk about trails. Scott Ruhlander from the Ponderay Peddlers and Herbert Klein from the Idaho Trails Association. If you've just tuned in to the latter part of the show and want to hear it all, it will be available as a podcast later on today, tomorrow, here at KRFY. Go to krfy.org. You've been listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 FM. And once again, I'd like to thank you, Scott and Herbert, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.